It certainly is. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time tonight. I just feel like dancing. It's awesome, Lord. It's an awesome night. I believe we're going to have a good time with you, Lord. I know we are. Because every one of us coming in here in one accord, our hearts are all knitted together in the Holy Spirit. And I praise you, Father, for an open heaven, that when we pray, things happen. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. Lead us and guide us and show us what you want to talk about, Lord. I know there's some awesome things out there that's happening in your world. And I praise you, Lord. One of these days, we're all going to be able to sit around and share the stories of your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord, and upon the people. And I thank you, Lord, that you've got your hand on each and every one of us. That it don't make any difference what's going on around us, Lord. You're sitting there smiling at us because we've got faith to believe that you're the one orchestrating this life around us. And it's for one purpose, and that's to grow us up. And I praise you, Lord, for growing us all up, and that we're just going to continue to do what you want us to do and to be overcomers, great overcomers. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us in that into that bride, that special place of love that you and mercy and grace and protection that you have for the people that are already believing you for the things that you want us to believe for, and that's to be like Jesus. You know, Lord, when we talk to people outside of the ones that already know, they look at us like a deer in the headlights. You know, you want to be like Jesus. How can you be like Jesus? There ain't no way you can be like Jesus. So, yeah, through Christ, we can be like Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for showing us that. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you. And we want more of you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do with us tonight and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God forevermore. All right. Somebody tell me something. Who needs prayer or wants to pray? I've got a testimony or a praise report or a song. I could sing, but I don't think you'd like it. All right, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
Hey, I like it when you sing. I think it's cool. You have a great voice. Anyway, I just want like to thank all of you for praying for our family here in the local area here for, I guess, everybody getting the COVID stuff. So we've now, my wife's parents have gotten it, and they're up in their 90s and pretty vulnerable. So we're just praying for them. My wife's quite distraught because her mother's already on the edge from the way it looks. So, another close relative here is got oxygen sats of 84, we just found out. So somehow I did get sick, but I am already out of it, I guess, and getting my energy back and everything. So just want to just asking people to agree with me for especially the family here, that they'll be preserved long enough to make a decision. Not that they're not already kind of believers, but they don't believe in the gospel the way that we do here. But anyway, Lord, I thank you for hearing our prayers, and I thank you for helping us to stand in faith for our household salvation, and the other relatives around us. So. Lord, I just pray that we'll guide them and bring them through whatever you need to bring them through. But I do ask that they be preserved, Lord, to really follow you with all their hearts. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I'm going to ask a special favor that you would do for Malcolm's family. Lord, I ask that your healing angel would go through that family and heal them all. Amen. And that your glory would shake them up and bring them out. And I praise you for it, Father, for doing that. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for opening their eyes to the truth of the real gospel. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of Malcolm's family. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it, Malcolm. How about you?
Yes, I do.
All right, brother.
In the middle of all this, my wife, and I guess it was yesterday? Yeah, or the day before, one of our horses has a boot on each hoof, and the adhesive on those boots is really, you know, it's a very strong, it's not epoxy, it's one of the other adhesives that's they don't normally use for boots, but anyway, that horse it couldn't even walk that morning. So since I'm the one that seems to have the energy to do something, I got out there and I was working on this hoof, and it took me probably, I don't know how many hours, but it was just exhausting. And I, you know, with this stuff, it's really, your energy level really drops. So, anyway, my wife ended up coming out, and she was trying to stay standing, helping me, and finally got that hoof off. We were trying to isolate, you know, if it was an abscess on the hoof or not, and it wasn't. So, but anyway, it's just one of the steps you have to go through with.
Amen. How are you feeling?
If it's a sprain or whatever.
How are you feeling,
Michael?
How are you feeling, Malcolm?
I'm feeling pretty good. In the past, I could do a little bit, and then I'd have to go lie down.
Yeah.
But that's changed today.
Awesome. So, thank you, Lord.
Yeah. It seems unfair, but everybody else is croaking. But not after our prayer, no.
No. It's not unfair. Okay.
I mean, not after. Not what I meant was after our prayer tonight.
Oh,
thank you so much for that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Look forward. It's going to happen. Amen. All right, David.
So we have a praise report. When we were in Missouri, a lot of kids were, I guess, getting sick with the hands, foot, and mouth disease. And on Thursday, I noticed my daughter, Adelina, she was losing her appetite. Like, she didn't want to eat anything. I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, well, kids go through their phases. And then Friday afternoon, I noticed she was fevering, and she was, like, drooling a lot. And I noticed a little rash appear, like, by her mouth. And I thought it was from the drool, so I was like, okay, she's teething. And she was also vomiting, which she would always do when she was teething, when she was younger. And so I wasn't too worried either about that, because I was like, whatever, she's teething. And then Saturday, I realized, no, the rash looked like hands, foot, and mouth. And like, it just, she was crying all day. I mean, it was such a rough day with her. And I had a lot of like fear enter me. Like it was just so rough. And I prayed for her, but you know, it's like, I don't know. I don't see any changes. And I was just so like, I was like, well, I have to do something, you know, like, so I was treating her symptoms and stuff. And then I was just thinking, you know, Sunday we have to leave to go back to Tennessee. And I'm like, that's an 8-hour trip. I'm already imagining the worst trip. You know, my daughter's sick. She's crying nonstop. I was like, there's no way I can make this trip and be alone with her while she's so sick and my husband's at work. Like, I was just so scared. And, praise God that we have family and we have UBM family, because I was told that you guys prayed for Adelina and my family was praying for her. David's family was praying for her. And Sunday morning, she woke up and asked me for a drink of water, which she would not drink anything the day before because her throat hurt. She asked me for a drink of water. She drank some water and she asked me to eat. She ate a meal. And she was just happy and feeling so much better. And I was like, okay, like, we can do this. I think I can, you know, get back to Tennessee. Because I was already thinking, like, I'm just going to stay in Missouri for another week. Like, I'm not going anywhere with her like this. But she was just happy. And praise God, it, like, she's complete turnaround. I mean, Saturday was a nightmare. And Sunday was just, she was totally fine. We went home to trip. The trip was fine. It was a breeze, honestly, especially compared to what I went through the day before. So praise God. And I want to thank you all for your prayers as well. That means
Amen.
A lot.
Thank you, Lord.
And I did want to ask if you all could believe with me for Abigail. She's today, she's actually been crying all day and just her nose is really stuffed. She's not eating well and she's not sleeping because of her nose and she's coughing. And I just, if you all could believe with me that God has healed her and this will all go away just as fast
Amen.
As it did with Addie.
Yep, we do. We lift up Abigail to you, Lord. We thank you that she's already healed. She was healed at the cross. Bless God. You don't go back on your word. We don't go back on our faith. We believe it, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that Abigail is healed, delivered, and set free. And she's going to sleep like a baby tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. It's done, girl. All right. Go ahead, Geneva.
Okay. So me, Isaac, and Mariana too, we want to ask for some prayer that God gives us direction and blesses us with a dream tonight. We've all been looking for my mom a place here in Florida for a while now. And Mariana's called like 12 different places. Well, yesterday we'd found a trailer that's not in a homeowners association, but it's in a really cute park. There's a lot of, like, there's a nice swimming pool. We've talked to some of the neighbors and they all really love it down there, and it's just a cute little area, and it's a really good deal. And Isaac is thinking about getting it, but the trailer definitely needs some TLC. There's a lot going on with it. It's gonna need some work, paint and carpet ripped up and just some other things going on with it. But we just want to pray and believe the Lord shows us what to do, because that would be a really big step for them to buy this trailer. You know, be kind of a big investment. And you know, I know that we're all thinking too about mom, because we want to make mom happy. And it'd be, even with the way it is right now, like Isaac said, it would be 10 times better than what she's living in right now in Kentucky. She's just, you know, she's just having a hard time, like, letting go of Owensboro and coming down here. But we know that she'd be happier, because she keeps saying that she misses her kids and she wants to be close to her kids. And anyways, if we could just pray that God would give us direction and bless me and Isaac with a dream, because we don't want to make a mistake here and get it and have all kinds of issues, or there just be something down the road and just be one thing after another. You know, I'd rather just be patient and wait for something else. But, you know, at the same time, this could be really good. So if you all would just pray and believe, Brother Michael,
okay.
Pray.
Yep, I will. Well, Father, you hear Geneva. Lord, you know what's going to be happening. You know what the circumstances are. And we ask and we pray that you give them words, knowledge, the word of knowledge, a dream, a vision of something that would give them confirmation, or that you would you don't want her down there at this time. And Lord, we ask that if you want her down there, that the doors will be open, but you're going to give them a dream to say that the door is open. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that the confirmation that they get is going to be from you, and they'll know it's from you, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And they're not going to do anything until they hear from you, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name, because I know you're going to answer their prayer. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Y'all believe that?
I believe it.
Look forward.
I also wanted to say thank you, Jesus. I know he's going to show us.
Amen.
I also wanted to say, this is kind of a random fact for the day, but I was talking to, when we went down to Owensville, I was talking to some of my family members, and I don't know if you all listened to the Christian artist, or if you heard of her, Lauren Daigle. She's kind of like a new upcoming, like she's always on the radio. Well, anyways, they told me that she's a part of this new Christian progressive movement, and I was like, what's that? And they kind of explained it to me, but basically, she's for, like, homosexuality, and she believes that God's a woman. And I was like, man, this is kind of crazy. Like, let me look this up. And so she was on the Ellen Show, and she was even saying things of that sort, like, you know, that, you know, the Bible's not necessarily literal, so we can't go by that. And she was agreeing with Ellen. We, you know, we all know that Ellen is, you know, lesbian, whatever. So, so it's just this thing. And then they had something where she said, I don't consider myself a Christian artist. I consider myself an artist. So I'm just saying, if you hear her on the Christian radio, I wouldn't listen to it. So, you know, because there will be sheep in wolves' clothing, or no, wait, wolves in sheep's clothing. That's it. So, anyways, Isaac's always told me to be careful about listening to certain Christian artists anyways, you know, because I feel like you can discern in your heart what's real and what's not. And sometimes I really listen to those words and I'm like, you know, that doesn't agree with the word. That's not faith. Like, that's fear. And so, like, there's only a few Christian artists that I really feel okay to listen to. But anyways, I just want to throw that out there so that you all know.
Yeah, she's the one that her and Michael Farron put out that word. Missy, what was the name of that song? We sing it in the fellowship. Oh gosh.
Your hearts were pure.
I know. What is it?
Dry bones come alive.
Yeah, come alive. That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's the one that sings that, but I think she was a Christian when she sang it. What happened? She got a lot of money and they destroyed that girl.
Yeah, that's
like they always do.
Yeah, she got hold of some fame and glory, and they have her all kinds of talk shows now and stuff, and so she's just after it.
Yeah. Lord, we just lift up Lauren to you. Father, we just ask that you humble her and grant repentance back to her. She don't know what she's doing. She's up there in all that glitter and all that stuff that these people walk in, and she's looking at flesh. That's all she's looking at. Father, I ask that you humble her and bring her back in. In Jesus' name, that you would grant repentance to her and bring her back in, but humble her so that she would put out some good stuff. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's see. Go ahead, Lana or Theo or Maximus or Theo Jr.
Hey, I have a praise report. Can you hear me?
Can now, yeah, go for it. Can't hear you now. Cannot hear you. No, it's not working, Lana.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit. Go ahead. You muted yourself.
Okay. Is this better?
Yes, that's a little better. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry, I'm driving tonight. I wanted to share a testimony and also ask for some prayer. Prayer is for Elena's sister, my sister-in-law, Maria. Their little daughter, Nick, running around, but she's got a cough and she can hardly breathe. She's so congested. And she's the little precious baby that was born prematurely. She's 3 months old now. And so, Father God, we lift up little Nika to you, and we ask for your hand of mercy and healing over her. We ask that she get over this cough and congestion. Father God, give Maria the grace to stay calm and to trust you, Lord, that her precious baby is under your spirit of infirmity. Father God, whatever it is that's coming against her, whatever it is that's coming against our families, we continue to rebuke you and stand against you and proclaim the blood of Jesus, each one of our beloved family members, with recovery very quickly, Father.
You're gone, Lana. We can't understand you.
In Jesus' name. And Friday.
Okay, we believe with you. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever she prayed, Lord, we just believe with her. That little girl is healed and delivered and set free by the power and blood of Jesus. Amen. All right, Lana. You can try it one more time, but your audio is getting bad.
Yeah, is this better?
No, but go ahead. We'll try to decipher what you say.
How about I come back and share the testimony a little bit later when I get to mom?
That'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Is she gargling? Maybe. Sounds like it, doesn't it? But making fun of her, Davis. What's the matter with you, man? Woman sitting trying to drive down the road, and you sitting there making fun of her. She's liable to have a wreck somewhere. No, she won't, in Jesus' name. Lana, don't pay no attention to him. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, to get her home safe and sound, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else? Got a prayer request or testimony? Hey, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I hearing about the sicknesses going on. Let's pray against the deep state. They might be trying to spray everybody again, trying to get everybody sick so they can get the shot. You know, they're doing that push everywhere still. So, Father, if this is what's happening, if they're starting to try to spray us again or push this whatever they call COVID, this disease on everyone again and trying to make everybody sick. Father, we come against this in the name of Jesus mightily. We cast this down. We cast this down, especially upon you believers, the ones that have the right to be under your blood, Father, under Jesus's blood, the protection of Jesus that are eating the lamb. Father, we come against this sickness in a mighty way, and we cast it off us, cast it off all the saints and all our families. We pray protection over them and over us and our families against any of this plague they're trying to put on us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. We believe it, Lord. Thank you, Father. And we come against any kind of witchcraft that the enemy's trying to throw against us right now. In Jesus' name, we cast it down as null and void. Matter of fact, Lord, we send the angels out there to cast these curses back where they came from. You told us to do that. That's what we're going to do. Thank you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My, my, my. Okay, Isaac.
Hey, everybody. How are y'all doing?
We're blessed, brother. You?
Amen. Blessed indeed. Amen. Yeah. I want to confess some sins, if that's okay, and have y'all pray for me, because I know what the word says. It says, we confess our sins. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And bear with me. if I'm driving, so if I lose you, I apologize. But I just want to say I was getting attacked by some factious spirits, and it, you know, and at work, I kind of, I haven't been doing so well because I'm back at Detroit. Everything is great in Texas. You know, thank you, Lord, for doing that for me. When I come to Detroit, I start getting hit with trials because, like I've told you before, there's a lot of politics being played here, and a lot of, there's a good old boy system, and a lot of these guys are engineers, come from Monterrey, Mexico, so they're kind of looking out for each other, and I'm getting pigeonholed, and like they have, like these fellas are pretty new, and this is like their first, a lot of them, the first time they're ever seen, and I don't want to get too technical, it's really ignorant anyways, but they get this PLC access, and they're doing all this stuff, and I'm out here doing stuff that normally I should, actually we shouldn't do at all because we have installation. Need to change out motors and uncouple them and wire them up and wire DFDs. And that's something we don't do. And I've been finding myself back to being an electrician while these other fellas are playing on the computer. And I'm like, man, come on, it's not okay. And I haven't taken it well because I know Jesus would have done it and not complained, but I've been complaining. And yesterday I got pretty upset, but I held it back pretty well. The lead that's kind of been pigeonholing me because, you know, I guess I'm not with the hip crowd. he told me, because I've been traveling since February, when I post travel 40%, he said, you know, my boss even told me that I'd be done early since I started traveling in February. Everybody else just started traveling. Now, these are all single men and single people, so they don't have wife and kids. Well, he just told me, he said, Isaac, you're going to be here till the project ends. And I said, when's that? He said, till the end of October, maybe November. And I said, no, I'm not going to. And he said, yeah, you are. And I said, you didn't have this conversation with me. And I said, for respect for you, because everybody's standing around, let's have this conversation between me and you. So, you know, because he's got a project to lead, and I don't want to disrespect him in that regard. Anyways, so we talked this morning, and I'm just going to tell you, I got a little bit arrogant, and I kind of told him the situation, like, you know, I'm experienced, but you're putting me doing this stuff, the piddly things, and everybody else is, I see them sitting down, writing these programs for these control areas, you know, why am I not doing this? And he agreed that he needed to stop doing that. So it was good. But I just think through my bad attitude here recently and my kind of complaining, and I did tell him the truth, so I went and squared it away with him, between me and him. I want to ask the Lord to forgive me, because here's the thing. I know this is long-winded, and I'm sorry, but I want to confess it and get it off my shoulders. I know that if I can't handle this situation, which is really really amounts to nothing, it's very trivial. If I can't handle this now, I can't handle it in the future, what's coming down the road. And I certainly don't ever want to bring this into the church. You know, I don't want to, I want this gone in Jesus' name. I do believe that prayer. We prayed a few weeks ago, the rejection. I still believe it now, but I got hit by it a little bit. The devil's attacking me. Can one, we pray, thank God for forgiving me and pray and ask the Lord for, and thank him for his grace. And he's going to get me through this because I want to pass this test. I really want it behind me. And I don't want to walk in condemnation. I want faith. That way I want to have a clear conscience so I can walk in faith. I hope that explains everything, but thank you, everybody. I appreciate it.
Amen. It did. Can I pray for you?
I'd be thrilled if you would. Thank you.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, you heard Isaac. He confessed his sin, and he is back on track again, Father. He's sanctified. We command that spirit of pride to go. Sarcasm to go, arrogancy to go in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that you're replacing that with peace, love, and joy in his heart, that he's going to be working for you. He's not working for man. And whatever you do, Lord, whatever you have him doing, you might put him at a menial job just to show him that, hey, you got to have a smile on your face all the time. Because I'm the one that put this man over you. And I thank you for it, Father, in order to kill flesh, probably, or whatever it is. I don't know. But, Father, you do. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing Isaac with this joy and this peace and this rest in his heart that you're in control. And I thank you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that all of that stuff is gone from Isaac from this point on. And we praise you, Father, for reminding him to open up his arms like a funnel every morning when he wakes up and asks for a new infilling of your Holy Spirit that gives him the power to overcome. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. I've been there and done it, Isaac. I've been there and done it.
Michael, I know you know. I know it. That's why it's great to be able to talk about this. So, yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. I felt the Holy Spirit, man, and I know it is done. And one more thing, and I just want to say this. Lord, allow that man to forgive me. In his heart, let him forgive me. Oh, Father, thank you that you put forgiveness in his heart for me, for himself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. For Isaac's heart, too. We praise you for it, Father. He's got a heart for you, and that's what's good. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Okay. I got a little something I'd like to show you, if I could. Can I do that? Y'all ready for some interesting stuff here? Some God stuff. I'm going to read you a little something here. This is a scientific approach. Now listen to what I'm saying. Because it's going to somewhere. It's going somewhere. I'm going somewhere with this. A scientific approach. Science has determined that the smallest known particle is a particle of light. But they have also determined that the particle of light is composed of two smaller components. They believe that the two smaller components are what we might call sounds or sound waves. The two smaller components are indeed sounds, and the sounds are the word, listen to this, light be. In Genesis chapter 1 in verse 3 of the Bible, records God is saying, let there be light. But the Hebrew version of the Bible, in the literal translation of the Hebrew text, has God saying, light be. Light be. Science tells us that the universe is expanding in all directions. And that if you could stand out beyond where light has reached, I believe this myself, has reached, there would come a time in a very short while, since light travels is 186,900 or 292 miles per second, when you would experience a wall of light passing by you. And at the moment the light passed you, God's voice saying, light be, would be heard by you and anyone with you. God's word is still going forth. Light is traveling behind or upon God's word. When light has filled every available space in existence, then it will cease to move forward and return to God. Now, I want you to know something, that God only said that one time, and it's still working like clockwork. Actually, clocks must be adjusted to keep in step with light, since time is measured in units of light. God does not have to get up every morning and tell the earth, the moon, to go around the sun again. He spoke it one time, and it still happened. Well, here's the principle that I was getting to. That God only has to say something once for it to come to pass. He's already said it, and it's a fact. Now it's up to us as Christians to establish God's word on earth by removing the enemy's works from the bodies of humans. You understand? Healing. And it's up to us to enforce the defeat that God has already won over his enemy. God doesn't have to do anything to affect the healing of any person. He's already decreed it. He's already decreed it, folks. Psalms 138:2, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all name. God has forever connected his keeping his word with his name. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3 and 6. And what did it say in Hebrews 13, 8 and 9? Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He don't change. He ain't changing. He ain't going to change. Not for me, not for y'all, not for nothing. But he's going to be the same. And it goes on in verse 9, be not carried away. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Luke chapter 2, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. And on and on and on and on. And the reason I'm saying is that when God said, by his stripes you were healed. When God said, when you pray and you believe what you pray, you shall have it. He ain't changing it. It's up to us now. It's up to us to believe and declare it in our life. Every one of us to do that. And you'll see miracles. We'll see miracles. You'll see people raised from the dead because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt when you go pray for a brother or sister, they're coming up off that bed of affliction, glory to God right there. If they don't, you stay there until they do. You know what I mean? You keep on believing. I'm talking about in faith. That's what faith is. You believe that if God said it, glory to God, it's got to be true. And if he says that I'm sanctified by faith, glory to God, look at the sanctified brother here. If he says, look in the mirror and see Jesus every morning before you go out, bless what I'm going to do. I'm going to look in that mirror. Look at that. There goes me and Jesus. We're going out of here, glory to God. We're going to be just like Jesus all day long. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to do anything but go forward. Amen. I'm going to get up off the soapbox now. I could go on forever with this little old message here because it's a good one. It tells you this. It tells you that God's not going to change. If anybody's going to change, it's going to be the person that's praying and not believing. What did he always tell his disciples when they come back defeated? Oh, ye of little faith. Man, listen to this. The guy, Jesus was down snoozing in the boat when there was a hurricane going on outside. That's how much he trusted his God. And they were worried sick. Somebody, go down there and get that man up off that bale of hay down there and bring him up here and get him to stop this mess, you know? Instead of them doing it, they wanted Jesus to do it because whatever. And what he telling? Oh, ye of little faith. I'm down there snoozing. You want to wake me up for a little old hurricane? Come on now. Ye of little faith. That's where he wants us. He wants us to sleep in the storm because he knows that we know that God's got us. Right there, boy. I mean, he's got us. Well, sometimes we look at the circumstances rather than looking at Jesus. If we just look at Jesus all the time, now what would Jesus do in this minute? He'd go sleep. He gonna lay down, take a nap, or he'd command, one or the other. And he'd know that when he commanded it, God was going to back him up. That's where we need to get to, and trust God implicitly. Trust him. What we want to do, and I'm not trying to point anybody out, what we want to do, and I've seen it time and time again, what we want to do is we want 14 people around us praying, and throwing oil on us and all this kind of stuff, when all we got to do is do it ourselves. Command it by the power and the blood of Jesus. And he will back us up every time. Because his word is true. Is his word not true? His word is true. And if he said it, he's going to do it. You go through it. I tell you what you can do. You can go through the New Testament. Did Jesus ever turn anybody down? In fact, more times than not, he said, and he healed them all. He not just one or two, he healed them all, glory to God. And when he healed them all, he meant all of them. Even when he went into his own town, the people there that believed got the healing. God just wants us to trust him. That's all. He just wants us to trust him and rest in his love and his promises. His promises are the best thing that we can have. And his love, of course. Amen. I'm going to be quiet. If somebody want to add to it a little bit or comment on it or whatever. But I'm telling you, if he spoke light into existence and it's still going, you can bet when he said that by his stripe we're healed, you're healed or delivered, or the circumstances, you got money in the bank, or you're protected, whatever it is. Amen. How many of you believe that? How many of you don't believe it? Get your hand down, Pat. What's the matter with you? Oh, my. Yes. All right. Anything
you're
else?
Too quick. Anybody? You're too quick for me.
I was looking for you. Okay. Yes, Pat.
So I got a question. Where did you get light be? You read that or
well, in that's in the, if you look it up in the original text, that's what it says in the Hebrew. Okay. In the old Hebrew, that's what it says. Look in the numeric. Let me look in there.
But you were making the connection that's a sound, that was a sound. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. That was the sound that you heard. There's two parts of it. There's two parts of sound that makes up light, according to what this guy was saying. Don't think I'm too long, Pat.
I'd be interested in reading it too. If you can throw it our way or something, that would be nice.
Well, I can't because it's copyrighted material. I wish I could. Okay. I tell you what you can do. All you got to do is look it up. Look up light and sound and look it up, Google it, you know, something like that. It'll tell you the same thing. It won't tell you about the light be. That's more conjecture than anything. But it's in the word, that's what it says is light be. Let there be light is what we see, right? In the word. Okay. But the original Hebrew says light be. The Hebrew word for it. All right, anybody else? Yes, Missy.
Where is that John G. Lake you're reading out? Reading?
Yeah.
I figured because I know he gets into some scientific stuff, you know, and
yeah.
And that's what I figured.
Look at that. There's a detective right here in amongst us. Amen. Well, how do you know it was John G. Lake? I don't, you know, I don't really talk a whole lot about John G. Lake, do I? Amazing man.
I just, I remember you sharing some stuff about, of his stuff before. It's been a while, like you said, but it just, it just hit me that that was probably him, because I know you read him, so.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Lana.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, girl.
Is now a good time to share?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Awesome. I'm so sorry about earlier. I had the greatest connection up until I started talking, so what do you know? So this past Friday at the sister's prayer meeting, I had an opportunity to lift up my sister-in-law, Juliana, for prayer, because she suffered a miscarriage and what is also, I believe it is known as a, a blighted ovum, meaning that she miscarried the embryo, but her body still thought she was pregnant for quite some time. And so she ended up in the emergency room where they told her she would need to be followed up on in order to schedule surgery. And she shared this with my family chat group, but I don't check in on that chat group anymore very much. I kind of just try to stay away from getting entangled in their drama or whatever else the enemy tries to use against me. The Lord just put it on my heart like three times that day to text her. And so I finally did, and she shared it with me. So I know it's of the Lord that I had texted her, and that is of the Lord that I'm staying away from this chat group. So there's a testimony there that he came through, that I'm not missing out on anything. And I refuse to accept any condemnation or guilt because I don't participate in that group, because that was the first thing that hit me. So I chatted with her a little bit. I prayed over her. I sent her encouraging scriptures, and that was it. And then Saturday night, I found out that she did go for her follow-up, and the doctors told her that no surgery would be necessary. I feel like that's a miracle in itself, because they would probably do a surgery for the smallest thing in that case to make sure she's completely cleaned out after a miscarriage. But they told her she's good to go and no surgery necessary. So praise the Lord for all that.
That's awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. All right, who's next? What y'all want to talk about tonight? I don't think we ever did get a discussion going.
Did we finish up on division in the church at all, or no?
Oh, I don't know. Did we? I don't think so. Here's William. I pray that all may be one. I don't know. We kind of worked on it a lot. What do y'all think?
Did we cover that? David said there, he said there's real power in unity. I'm on page one. But unity isn't based on total agreement. So that's one of the things that we got to be aware of in the body here. We don't necessarily have to come in total agreement with each other on everything, because that's kind of what the apostate Christians like to have you do, is always come in agreement with everything they say. So you become conformed to what they have to believe. This, they have that statement of, this is what we believe. And doing that, you get cornered and boxed in a little area of thought, and you can't deviate outside of that box, because this is what we believe. And that's not how scripture, and that's not how it works in the real body of Christ. The real body of Christ is we all grow in our own pace, and we all learn as we go. And somebody might know something else that you don't, or vice versa. And just because they say something that you don't completely understand or agree with doesn't mean that you're supposed to now pigeonhole that person and say, ah, he's not one of us, or, you know, you're not supposed to separate over differences in any way. You're supposed to try to come together in unity of faith and let those differences exist as long as they're not heretical, like we were talking about heresies, where you got to believe this or else, or something that's totally, like we take and understand heresy sometimes as meaning something that's totally out of the box of scripture. It doesn't belong to there, shouldn't be said. And that's true too, to a degree, but also heresy is something to the point that we make it so forceful on people that if they don't believe this, then you got to convert them and change their mind. That's heretical too, is the way you approach people in that way. Try to beat them over the head with something. So anyways, the point was that differences can be in the body of Christ and understandings and still be a unity, you know. So that's something that I think we do get to share here in this body. We do get to understand, you know, and believe with, you know, each other on.
Yeah, David quoted that in Psalms 133. Yeah. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, that's all of us, to dwell together in unity. Verse 2, it is like the precious oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. It came down upon the skirt of his garments like the dew of Hermon that comes down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. How good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. And that's all the brethren. I mean, if you're... We like to say that, the Baptist faith, the Church of Christ faith, the Nazarene faith, or this, it's all one faith. They're just in a different position. The ones that really truly love God, you know, and it's going to come out at some point in time. You don't know who God's got elect in all those churches. You can real quick probably see a religious spirit. Let me just say, read this here, what David has here about the unconverted church and the converted church and what the difference is. Well, what do you do with it, Dave? You got me off track. Well, anyway. Where'd it go? Okay. We'll forget about that for right now. What's the difference between an unconverted church and a converted church?
What do we mean by unconverted and converted, I guess? What do you mean by that?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. I'm an old boy from Arkansas. I'm throwing it out there. That's good, Greg. Go ahead.
Can we say converted like born again versus not born again, or no?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure that the Lord wants us to go there right now. Hey, what? Let's talk about one accord. What is one accord? Talks about that Honda all through the New Testament, you know, being in one accord. What does that mean to us? That's when we all agree, right? We're all in one accord in the Holy Spirit, that our hearts are knitted together by the Lord. And we believe what the word says, regardless of what we've seen other people do. We believe the word of God. You remember what happened every time that they got into one accord? Every time. Man, they were sparks went flying, didn't they? Houses shook. Lord of God, people got healed. All kinds of great things happen when people are in one accord. All right, I'm tired of talking. Somebody else talk.
I think one of the things that would be interesting to understand is, what is the Lord and what does he expect? What is he trying to do with us when he talks about our unity of faith? Where are we supposed to be coming in unity of faith?
Okay, that's a good subject. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought somebody else had that answer.
Well, the unity of faith, I believe, now I'm just going to throw a little bit of something out there. I believe unity of faith is starting with our salvation and what that salvation entails. How many of you have read Real Good News? Real Good News. That's a good book. It brings you into the unity of faith, tells you what faith is. It's not most of so-called Christianity, let me put it that way, believes that faith is believing that Jesus died on the cross. He was resurrected from the death. He's now sitting up at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. That's their faith. And that he's always praying for me. Because I'm always in sin. I can't get out of sin because that's my nature. And that's why I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to heaven before all this tribulation starts too. That's their faith. But what is our faith? That's the unity that Dave was asking a while ago. We learn what that faith is. Go ahead, Pat. You look like he's going to say something.
Sorry, I was just writing. I was looking for scripture. I'll jump in later.
Okay. Don't look like you're fixing to say something. I'll call on you in a heartbeat.
We're going to say unity is how we all come together and understand how our faith works together. As an accord, or are we in agreement with our faith? That's what you're saying?
The first thing to understand to be in unity of faith is that the word is the word of God, in my estimation. If you can get people to understand that the Bible is the word of God, it's the actual word of God, and that we do everything, that it hadn't, nothing in it has gone away. It's still the word of God. And if we read the word of God and we understand that the word of God is the word of God, and we come across anything in there that goes against my thinking, then what has to change? It's this. My thinking has to change to what the word of God says. And if we can all agree to that, that's unity, right? That's where we all come into unity, to believe that the word of God is, in fact, the word of God. In fact, John tells us that, doesn't he? Jesus is the word, and the word is what we're looking, what we've been reading.
So you really can't have unity with anybody. I mean, real unity, if they're not totally on board with that, they might think, well, yeah, God's word's true, but so is this. We believe this also. They add things too.
Well, we're not in unity then.
Right. Like I had a Catholic woman try to say, sola scriptura, sola scriptura. That's all, you know, kind of point at the Protestants. That's all they try to believe in. In other words, the sola scriptura is nothing but the word of God. You know, that's all you really need. That's all you need is the Bible. Anything outside of that, you don't really need it. It's just stick with the Bible. She's trying to say, well, there's other things. You know, they have their writings, their church writings, and their church fathers, and they go to those too. They treat that just like it's the word of God. And so when she was going there, it was like, I can't, because you're trying to take away from the word of God at that point. You're trying to say, well, don't just rely on the word of God. Get a guy, rely on these people also and what they say. And at that point, it's like, I just did not, you know, there was no more me feeling I had any way I could have a unity with this person or even consider discussing scriptural things, because she's not going to be wanting to be staying with the word of God. She wants to drift, you know, and what she knows to be true.
That's, you've got a good point there. That's where discerning of spirit comes in. You know, when you can discern that these people have got a religious spirit and you're just wasting your breath, just go on, you know. You say, well, okay, we can just stop right here. You know, you can believe what you want to believe. I believe that the word of God is the true word of God. And if it's the word of God, and what I'm doing is going against that word, then I need to quit what I'm doing and start doing what God says today. Because that's what he says. He said, be ye perfect even as I am perfect. Yes, Pat?
I was thinking about the starting point starting from love. And if two people have this same starting point of love for God, then there can be a unity starting at that point. Because if you have that love for God, which obviously God puts in your heart, you can, that love that God puts in your heart, will also keep you, what am I trying to say? That if there is another person that maybe has a different opinion about something, as long as you can communicate together and both share the same love for God, ultimately, whatever irregularity or error in our thinking, whether it be me or the other person, ultimately, if that error is discovered, it will be discarded in preference for God's love, because one loves God. Therefore, you love his word. And so to me, I think that that's where the starting point has to be. And I know for a fact that there are people in the various different sects of Christianity that have a love for God, and it hasn't been exercised or allowed to nurture or grow because of the particular environment they are in. And they may not understand it, They may not see it, but there is that root of love for God and His Word that is in there. And so I think that we have to be sensitive to that fact when the Lord sends us into these places, because number one, we all came from the same place. We all came out of the same pit. And it was only God's love for us, and that love that He developed within us, and that desire to know Him and to be with Him and to experience His Word and to be in His presence. All of that drew us out of that darkness, seeking that light. And that darkness that we maybe clung to or held on to before became non-essential to us. And we, as we sought more for that light, so I think, I guess I don't want to go much further, but I think the starting point has got to be mutual love for God and His Word. So.
I agree. I'm glad you brought the love part in there, because that's essential as well. Yeah. All right. Anyone else?
Can I read a scripture?
Sure.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called. That's God's love calling out to each heart. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, give diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3. That was all.
Amen. Let me tell you a little story about what we're seeing over in Africa, not in South Africa, but in some other places in Africa. I can't disclose. But they're getting the truth of the Word over there. And it's changing the government. It's changing the lifestyle of the country. It's changing villages, tribes. It's changing. It's just amazing what the truth does. And what the first thing that comes out of most of them's mouth is, where did you get this truth? Because listen to me, they've been listening to these prosperity preachers over there. They've been listening to garbage. And the only people that are prospering out of it is the preachers. And when they get this truth of the Word that they have, it just floors them, and they're just so excited that they want to tell everybody, and they go out there and they just, the whole town is turning over to Jesus. It's amazing. It is amazing what the truth is doing over there. We're talking poor people. We're not talking rich and famous people. Preachers might be, but the people are not. People are struggling. When they find out what faith is, the faith we know about, oh my gracious, they just, oh my, this is what I've been looking for. that God would do this for us. And they take it and they run with it. They're printing books out by hand and getting it out, getting the gospel out. It's amazing. At some point in time, maybe we'll be able to reveal what's going on. Actually, started out with one man. One man. It's already, you know, in a year and a half's time, has just evolved into an evangelistic crusade revival over there in multiple countries now. And God is doing so much. It's awesome. And it, the same thing is going to happen here. It's going to happen here. God already told us it's going to happen, hadn't he? In his word, he said it was going to happen. We're going to have a revival that's going to be unequaled. Nothing else is going to be like it. More people are going to come into the kingdom in the next few years than the whole past combined. Populate heaven. Guess who's going to be doing it? All of us. So we got to be ready. Reading and studying the Word of God. Getting the Word of God in us. You don't have to memorize it like somebody was talking about. You don't have to memorize it. All you have to do is get it in there. Just know it's there. And what happened? The Holy Spirit brings it out. I've had it happen to me many times. And it comes in, and he'll bring it to you, remembers, and you'll spout them out. Bam, bam, bam. When you're in front of a bunch of folks and you're teaching them the truth or you're speaking the truth to them, and they'll come to Jesus in droves. Some of you are going to see thousands of people in front of you. I wouldn't doubt. Oh, my Lord, God. Okay, anybody else? Andrew, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was just going to put in seed for the sower. You should pray for seed for the sower to sow the seed into the people. And I can't remember where the verse is, but I know it's kind of written in a petition form for seed for the sower. At least it sounded that way from what I can remember when I read it. So I don't know where it is, but maybe someone could find it. But, you know, interesting enough, my son came over yesterday because we had a civic holiday here in Canada yesterday. No one went to work in the government anyway, or in schools. And he came over for a Bible study, and he's reading the book of John. So he had some questions for me about that. And, you know, one of the questions was one of the Bible verses I recently wrote down on my, well, I'm just writing verses for myself on a sheet of paper here. Faith help verses for promises and trials. So I got some verses here that are supposed to help me for the promises that we have to that back up the promise, you know, and would help you in trials. So one of those particular verses that he questioned me on was John 10, 17 and 18. And, you know, I told him, well, this sounds like your cross. And of course you have to explain that to him, what his cross is, you know. And I pulled out my book. It's still here on the, how shall we die? Like I print my own at work. And I talked a bit about that. And I just said that this was a cross verse. And if it was in Jesus, it should be in us, this verse too. Anyway, So for this, the Father loved me because I laid down my life, but I take it again. No one took it away from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. This commandment received I from the Father. Now, this is the word of God, and Christ is supposed to live in us. So he's talking about an actual physical cross here, but we have a spiritual cross. But it also explains some items in here, like authority, you know, and received. This commandment received I from my Father. This is a past tense, received. So, it's just a few verses that I wrote down here. Like, one of them is, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, you know, and I will worship toward the holy temple. Actually, Michael said that one. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. And, who rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings, hath one that judgeth him the word that I spake. The same shall judge him in the last day. This is not supposed to bring you condemnation. This is supposed to be a backing up for the promise that the Lord spoke to you. You know, Luke 1:37, for no word of God shall be void of power. The word that he put in your head, the word that you know, has the Spirit of God's power in it. So that's, sometimes you might read these verses and have condemnation come on you. Well, don't let the other side get in there. This is a word that I put down here that's supposed to back up his promise and the trial you're in. So that's why I wrote him down, because I spake not from myself, but the Father that sent me, he hath given me commandment what I should say and what I shall speak. And I know that his commandment is life eternal. What things therefore I speak, even as the Father hath said to me, thus I speak. And of course, you know, Michael was just saying there that, we don't go back on these words that he's given us. And you know, when someone's trying to mess up your mind saying, oh, no, you failed on this one, Andrew, and you failed on this one too here. Oh, and you're failing on all of them. Well, it's obvious who's talking to you when that goes on in your head. And I just writing some verses down here to back up God's word with God's word. So, you know, if it's God's word and if it's a different teaching, you're not supposed to take it in. You know, it says that in 2 John. And you don't want the worldly word. You don't want the man's word. It's a different lamp. People, if you look at the chapter 3 of Galatians, you know that the law is the flesh and it's a curse. You know, that's almost the whole chapter there on how it goes. But there's a fleshy word when someone wants to add to this word or take away from it. You know, it's talking about the worldly word in those verses in 1 John chapter 4, you know. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. It goes down after Antichrist into the world's testimony, the world's word, the world's commandment, you know. There is a lamp that has to be put out, and a lamp that has to be lit in you. The lamp that has to be put out is the old man's lamp. All of that testimony that can't be backed up by this word of God. And even as Pat was saying before, Philippians chapter 3, he's gonna remind you what is wrong in you. Philippians chapter 3, yeah, it says right in there. If there's anything that he has to remind you of, I'm not using the verbatim words here. I'm just saying if there's something he has to remind you of, he's going to remind you of it. You're his child. This is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And don't forget, you fill up on the water in your vessel, and it's changed into wine, which is an emblem of the blood of Christ. So living is the word of God and active. In him we live, move, and have our being. All these words are supposed to encourage for faith. Some people will read that word that I just read in John chapter 12, 48. Who rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him, the word. And instead of this being a word of an encouragement to a person, it's a word of someone being condemned, when it's supposed to encourage a person. And you know what that's from? It's from people constantly reading this word and they're saying to you in these churches, don't do this, don't do that. They study the curse. You might as well be studying the fruits of the flesh, and you're not studying the blessing, the fruits of the Spirit. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, past tense promise. It's already done. And this is what wowed you when you first heard, too, man. You saw a great love that God has for you. He wants to fulfill his agape in you. And you know, I'm the type of person always looking for, what was his name? Barnabas, the encourager. Because there's just so much discouragement in the world nowadays. And be encouraged by the Lord and blessed. Read the word for blessing. Read the word because he wants to fill you with his glory so that he could be glorified through you. And the only way that's going to happen is by faith that worketh love. Who else are you going to listen to anyway? The mama or not the mama? The daddy or not the daddy? I mean, the worst that can happen to you is he can give you a good spanking, but he does love you doing that. So it's almost insanity to go against it. Well, it is insanity. Who else are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to Mystery Babylon? Well, there might be three of yous. You'll go into the furnace, but why would you listen to that guy? You know, King Nebuchadnezzar set it up. Who's he today? You know, anti is not just negative, it's in the place of. And that's a in the place of what's true. So praise God and get busy taking all this stuff since you were a little kid that was told to you, that was Christ and God's spirit, and it wasn't. You need the Lord. Yeah, so we're surrounded by the enemy. Since when was it never this way before? Anyway, praise God, glory to God. Love the Father in Jesus' name.
Yeah, the enemy's all around us. I remember a general back in World War I that said this. They called and asked him, said, how's it going, General? He said, well, the enemy is before us. They're behind us. They're on the left of us. They're on the right of us. They can't get away from us now, bless God. And that's the attitude we ought to have right there. Yeah, David.
Yeah, I was thinking that when Andrew brought that up about, I think he talked a little bit about the Antichrist a little bit. Looking at this in John 4:2, it talks about, but this you know, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in flesh is of God. And we know that is talking about Jesus coming in our flesh. Not just that Jesus has come in the flesh, but he is in us. He's in us. And then we got every spirit who does not confess that Jesus is of God, and that the spirit of Antichrist, and of course, he says, of whom you have heard that it comes, now is in the world. So I would think that would be one of the other things about the having unity in the body here is, anybody that's going to be in unity with us has to know and understand that and believe that not only is Jesus the Son of God, but he has also come inside of them also. They are. Jesus is in them. And that would that's the doctrine that a lot of the churches don't teach that well or understand that well. And for us to have unity with others in the body of Christ, that spirit of Christ has to be in them also, like it is in us, along with, you know, we have the Spirit of God also, or some of us are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we can always be rebaptized. We can ask for the get refilled again all the time, because that's one of the things we're supposed to do too. I would think that would be a reason why there might not be unity in the body, is if somebody does not have that Spirit of Christ in them. They have something, but it's not Christ. That's just what I wanted to say.
If you don't have a spirit of Christ, you're not of his. Amen. I hear it earlier. I don't know when it was, but anyway, I ran across Romans 14:23. And the last part of it says, whatsoever is not from faith is sin. Whatsoever is not from faith is sin. Can I tell you that it's right? Because God does not want us to look to man for anything. That's why he stresses faith so much. Jesus stressed it time and time and time again. He wants the glory. God wants the glory. And he don't want us to give the glory to man. And I just thought that was, I've seen it before, but you know how sometimes you can read it 15, 20, 30, 40 times, and then all of a sudden it's, wait a minute. Back up here, boy. Whatsoever is not from faith is sin. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed in. That's why God's got us in this wilderness now before we go into wilderness, is to exercise our faith.
That will be a separation too, correct? I mean, it's going to be those that don't exercise faith
Yep. I'll be the ones that line up and get the mark.
Yeah, well, because maybe they're having faith in something they're not supposed to have faith in, too.
Yep.
So that's the reality of it is they've got a different glory there. They've got the letter and not the spirit.
Yep.
You know, if they can read the ink on the page or what's engraved in stone, then it'll sure sound the same as what you're supposed to believe, but it's not written upon their heart with the Spirit of God, as it says in the first verse there in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. And that whole chapter there is a wonderful letter versus spirit. Like that's the chapter where we all like to quote 3:18, I think it is. And but we all with an unveiled face, but in 17 it says for where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty, is freedom, and you're free from sin. Because there's no sin in the Spirit of the Lord. There's one Spirit here. And we must attain to that free from sin. Because even when my son came over, you know, he said something wrong there. And I said, oh no, you got to be free from sin. You know, you're reckoning yourself dead to sin. You know, still trying to get him baptized, and told him I can take him up and baptize him in a river if he wants to get baptized. You know, sometimes I wonder if I want to be rebaptized again myself. Anyway, yeah, I remember some of the songs that I learned in the churches, the denominations, and one of them I always seem to have liked, and it goes something like Spirit of the Lord. That's just the people in the motorcycles. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I think it was when I was in the Reform Church, the Christian Reformed Church. I think they sing that one too in the Lutheran Church. I'm not sure. No? Okay. Well, praise God. The Spirit of the Lord has to fall afresh on you. They must have knew something in the past. So, you know, just like in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4 again, the Holy Spirit has to refill you. Fall afresh on you. Praise God. You know, the last time, what a friend we have in Jesus, you know, I was just reading it because it was a letter to Scriven's mother, and nobody talks that way today. And if you got such a letter from your son after what he went through, I'm pretty sure that probably brought tears to his mother's eyes when she read that letter. And I don't know if you guys know the song there, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, but it was originally a letter from Scrivens to his mom about what he's going through. And so really interesting. Anyway, praise God.
Yeah, Andrew brought up a nice topic again, and that's that would be a hard topic for a lot of people in a church to understand, as being delivered from sin. how it works. And if you're still in sin, how you can still be delivered from that, even though it's a difficult topic to wrap your head around a little bit, you know, sometimes, especially for even for us, because we can get under condemnation if we stumble. We feel like, oh, I just blew it, you know, I'm doing so good, and then this happens, you know. Well, we're still under grace, we're still under, you know, forgiveness. We still have just to confess our sin and move on, as long as we're not trying to practice it, you know. We're not trying to be in a practicing place where we're letting this rule our life and overcome by it. And I think that's a big issue with the unity in the body too, is understanding what Jesus did at the cross for us in order to help us be free from sin, so we can walk in newness of life in Christ. And we start explaining that to people that aren't spirit-filled. They have a very difficult time with that, because they think they're just always going to be sinners and they're going to be saved because that's what Jesus did at the cross. Saved them. He gave them, you know, this forgiveness, and they're covered with the blood now, but they still have sin and they're never going to be able to get rid of it. And they're always going to fail. They're always going to stumble. They're always going to be repenting. And they're always going to be going to the Lord and saying, oh, Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me. Oh, I'm good for another 5 minutes, you know. You know. Anyways, go ahead, Pat. I was just talking.
No, what you were saying is reminding me of the apostate church has their focus is to in their way to get Christians, to get people born again. And so obviously that the concept is get you to say the sinner's prayer to forgive, you know, so you can confess your sin and now you're in the Jesus camp. But obviously the scripture teaches that that's only one portion of sin. That's the sin. Now there is the nature of sin within the soul that has to be dealt with. So there's two aspects of sin that God has given us deliverance from. The first deliverance, or the initial deliverance of confession of our sins, whenever they are committed, where or wherever, that brings us into His mercy, into forgiveness, into cleansing of our spirit, into a place where we can listen to Him. Our spirit is free to listen to God as we continue to walk in the truth that He gives us, God will ultimately always lead us into situations and places to smoke out that sin nature that is within us that needs to be crucified. And I remember reading the holiness people in the 1800s and around in that area, John Wesley and some of those people, they had some very good clarity related to that whole process of holiness, because it dealt with the nature, it dealt with the that part within us that needed to be cleansed. And of course, their statement then was, sins can be forgiven, but the sin nature can't be forgiven. Its solution is crucifixion, is death. It can only be eradicated by death. And so that's what the Lord does in taking us on this journey, just like the like is typed in the Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of the life of bondage, and took them through the Red Sea. And once they went through the Red Sea and were cleansed from the old man, the sin of that old nature, and brought into a new relationship with God, now they went through the wilderness. God led them through the wilderness to smoke these hidden things in the soul out so that they could deal with them in God's by God's word and whatnot, and crucify those things, put those things on, look to that cross, to that snake on the pole. If they would have taken Andrew's advice there and taken this influence, not in a condemning mode like they did, or trying to justify themselves as they did, if they would have taken that influence and realized that there was something that needed to die within them in order to set them free, then they would have entered into a different situation. But I think that's what's greatly missing in today's modern church, is the missing of those two things. And the problem is they don't understand the sanctification process that happens. Therefore, they don't have the first step, the initial step of getting into Christ in the first place. That whole thing is jumbled up and mixed up. And so, anyway.
Absolutely, I agree 100%. Well said.
Amen. Go ahead, Judy, Sue.
Yeah, Andrew brought up that song about what a friend we have in Jesus, and I just feel so drawn to sing it, if that's okay. And everybody that knows it can sing it with me. Is that okay?
Well, sure. Yeah, go right ahead. Okay. I'll sing along with you.
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, if you're ever starting a community of prayer with a group of people, that might be a nice song to sing or play before you start your prayer meetings.
Okay.
So the prayer is mentioned a lot in that one. It's kind of like a double blessing, because you enter into your altar to pray to the Lord, and you're praising him at the same time, because this should remind you of some of the things you might need to pray for.
What it reminds me of is how much I need to pray. I don't pray enough.
Well, we can pray right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for that blood on the cross, allowing us to come to you and just take all our cares and all our troubles and our trials and tribulations and just lay it at your cross. Lay it to you. All our sin, all our griefs. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. But Lord, help us to lay it there and not pick it back up. Help us to leave it there and see this is a finished work at the cross. Convince us, whatever it is that wants us to keep on grabbing hold of that burden and taking it back, that we don't have to do that. That it's all done. That you are going to carry that burden for us. We love you, for our Father. We love you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us and are doing for us in our lives. We continue to praise you and lift you up and thank you for all eternity for what you're going to do and have done and are going to continue to do for us in cleansing us and renewing us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, put your love in all of us. Glory to God, just saturate us with your love. Lord, change our heart into your heart. So that love will just permeate through us, Lord. William says, I find myself still suffering if I am holy, I can be close to God instead of getting close to God so I can be holy. That's a great way of putting it.
Say it again.
You run it. It's in the chat there. William said, I find myself still suffering for if I am holy, I can be close to God instead of getting close to God so I can be holy. Yeah, Joe. I remember reading something that Andy Murray said similar to that.
I just my two cents, John. It's 14:9. Philip says to Jesus said to Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's unity. Yeah. So if you're in unity with Christ, the Father's also with you. It's so important to, before you start reading the word, I believe this is true, which is God's word. No discussion on this and this. You have to be unity with Christ. Christ is the word. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Well said. How many of you want to be closer to God? I do. We all want to be closer to God. And it's, what's the best way to do that? Yeah, Julie.
I'm not going to answer your question, but I wanted to pray for little Abigail. I can see her fussing and crying.
Okay.
She's not doing too happy. And I know you already prayed, Michael, and we agree. But Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for our dear little Abigail. And I thank you, Lord, for a healthy baby and how much you love her. And we just command all of these lying symptoms and this infirmity that is attacking her little body. We command you to go. Everything that's causing her to be uncomfortable, whatever it's fever, congestion, whatever virus this is, you have no right to be in this baby. And we command you to go. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for restoring peace and joy and happiness and total healing into Abby. So she's not going to be fussing and being uncomfortable anymore. And Mommy and Daddy are going to get some sleep tonight too. And Abigail and little Adelina. So we thank you, Lord, for blessing this family, Lord, with peace and just resting in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing it for Abigail. and Mama too, and Daddy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anyone else? Check out what Andy says. He says, dear fellow believer, if you're not living in the joy of God's salvation, the entire cause is your unbelief. You do not believe in the mighty power of God, that he is willing by his Holy Spirit to bring about a thorough change in your life and enable you to live in fullness of consecration to him. God wants you to live in this way, but you do not believe it. If men really believed in the infinite love of God, what a change it would bring about. What is love? It is a desire to communicate oneself for the good of the object loved. It's the opposite of selfishness. In other words, you give everything to the Lord. You surrender it all to the Lord. That's when the joy comes in. When the joy comes in, it's because there's nothing left but Jesus. And Jesus walks around with a smile on his face most of the time. Till I mess up. And I ain't going to do that. All right, anybody else? It's been good tonight. I enjoyed it. Hey, Tracy. I can't see you because I've got two pages on here. This thing, it only puts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 25. Well, we got 29 spots in here tonight. Well, praise God. Anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? Yeah, George.
I'd like to pray that we would have boldness
go
to
for
believe
it,
and to Father, I ask you to give us boldness to speak your truth. Give us boldness to believe you more, to step out on faith and help the world and to destroy the works of the enemy, that there's an attack on people and their health. And that you have the answers, Lord, and we should not be ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. Help it to be in the forefront of our thoughts. Help us to be prepared so that we are ready for the trials and ready for the opportunities. And Father, work in us your good work and finish the work that you're working in us, Lord. Take us to the end. Your good and perfect plans for us. Father, we need your spirit to function. We can do nothing without you. So, Father, we just thank you for growing us up as sons and daughters. We thank you, Lord, that you chose and loved us. And we receive that love today, Lord. We thank you for just blowing our ever-loving minds with the love of God. Father, just continue to pour out more than we can handle, Lord. Let us just be vessels of honor that can bring glory to your name in this earth. We know the time is drawing short. And Father, while we can still work in your harvest, let us be useful and let us lean in hard, Lord, and be yoked with you because your burden is light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. I believe it. I believe you're going to do it for us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Missy, go ahead.
I got a kick out of that. Did I catch this correctly? Blow our ever-loving minds with your ever-loving heart or something. What was that again? That was pretty good. Praise the Lord. Okay.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe.
If you're ever loving love or something like that, he said, yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yes, I do too. I receive it in Jesus' name. Lord, let your love flow throughout this whole bunch here. We just praise you, Father, for filling us all up with your Holy Spirit. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you also placing that great and bold faith in us too, to believe your word. When we run across something in there, Lord, that we would grasp it and put it in our spirit, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for filing it back for future references, and that you're going to bring it out when it needs to come out. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for giving everybody in here a good dose of good love and sleep tonight. As we go to sleep, we're meditating on you, Lord. When we get up in the morning, we're meditating on you, Lord. And we jump out of the bed like Wigglesworth used to do and say, glory to God, this is glory to God, glory to God. And Lord, we just thank you for placing it in us to speak your word whenever an opportunity arises. And we praise you, Father, for giving us discernment to do that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that the gifts and the signs and wonders are going to be working in all that are here that are speaking that love you, Lord. And we praise you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. We speak truth into everybody here. We speak peace, joy, and love into everyone here, Lord, and healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in all of us. Lord, there ain't nothing that's more interesting, more satisfying to be in, than to be in your presence. And I know, Lord, it's a fight sometimes for us to get into that presence because of the distractions of the world and the worldly ways out there, Lord. But Father, just place it in us to dig and to get into that presence of you every day. We need it, Father. We need it for the trials that are coming, to be able to be led by your spirit, Lord. And I know that you're working in all of us to do that, Father. There's nothing else more important right now than running after you with all of our heart. And you said in your word, if we do that, everything else will fall into place. And we just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in us. Thank you, Lord, for being with us and knitting our hearts together in one accord. Because, man, what happens when that happens is the world shakes. And we thank you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us. We love you and want a whole lot more of you, Lord. And we thank you for being our God. You're a graceful and merciful God. And you do like the herdsmen do. You take that staff and you correct us here and you correct us there. You get us in line. And that's so awesome, Lord, because your love overrides any kind of garbage that's in us. And we thank you, Father, that we're finding out that your grace extends way beyond our comprehension. Thank you, Lord, for that. But we also thank you, Lord, for your promises, too. We pray. Amen. And amen. Anybody else would pray?
Petra had her hand up.
Yeah, Petra, go ahead. Okay. Lord, we'll just pray some warm weather in there for Petra and Dirk and Paula and all of those people down there. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you stop the rain over there where they're flooding everything. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for cleaning out all them dumb bombs, tunnels. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Stop this recording.